Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we are so delighted that you've welcomed us into your home. You know that we would love to hear from you, so send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. And today we are welcoming back Tyler Blansky to our show. Tyler is the author of 4 books and has written various publications, including Touchstone Magazine, Christianity Today, CNN, ABC News, Crisis Magazine, and many more. He is the owner of the Minnesota Catholic Magazine, and he lives in Minnesota with his wife and 4 children. Yeah. And today he's here to share with us how fathers can rediscover their strength in his book, Find Your Fight, Rugged Wisdom for Faithful Dads Who Refuse to Settle. And I just want to say a quick word about that. In marriage, Jim and I will be married 49 years. And one of the things on our marital journey, we had to find that I was on your team.
Right. Yeah.
Because when we would fight, and we did, Jim would had to win the argument. And so one time I said, hey, are you trying to win this argument? Because I'm not trying to win the argument. I'm just trying to solve the problem because I'm on your team. And so in marriage, you can fight with each other till the cows come home and there's no peace in the land. So sometimes you have to course change, right? You have to change the course and go, I'm on your team. Don't fight with me. Let's fight for what we need to solve the problem about. Now, we would like to take a moment to remind you that EWTN is only made possible through the generosity of viewers just like you. If EWTN has strengthened your faith or blessed your family, we humbly ask that you prayerfully consider making a financial gift to EWTNmission.com so that we can continue to bring Christ's message to the world. And I always say this, the whole world needs EWTN. As Mother Angelica used to say, please keep us between your gas and electric bill. We cannot do this without you. You can go to EWTNmission.com to donate, and thank you. All that you already have given and blessed this network, and certainly continue to pray for EWTN.
So we have Tyler Blansky with us. Find Your Fight was interesting. One of our staff people here at EWTN, a female, took the book and she looked at it and kind of scanned it and she said, every wife would love her husband to have this book. Mm-hmm. And I saw her again later on. I said, well, why are you saying that? She says, because he has to find his fight. The husband has to find his fight. The wife doesn't tell him, find your fight. She wants to know she's being fought for and that the kids are being fought for, that that's your fight. Every woman would like this book.
Yes.
So EWTNRC, Find Your Fight, Rugged Wisdom for Faithful Dads Who Refuse to Settle. Good for men, good for women at every phase and stage of life, especially middle age. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, our guest today is Tyler Blansky. He is the author of a wonderful book called Find Your Fight. Now, Tyler, we want you to tell our family briefly in a summary about Find Your Fight, your purpose in writing it, and what you want our family to know.
Find Your Fight, I wrote it when I was in the trenches, not getting any sleep, drowning in diapers and babies, starting a business, learning every day, pushed way beyond my limits. I wrote this book for dads who are feeling like maybe they've lost some of that spark. Maybe they're just drowning in their responsibilities. Perhaps their faith has become a little bit of, if it's starting to feel like a performance or just checking off, you know, the checklist, how do you find that your faith, the faith of your youth? Maybe you were, it's something when you were a teenager or you went on that pilgrimage or you were climbing that mountain and you were just so alive. Or that moment when you really knew, like, this was the woman you were going to marry. What happened to all that? And how can you get it back? I deliberately avoid, this is not a book about parenting. There's no parenting advice at all in this book. It is really written from the heart, and it comes at it at fatherhood and what it means to be a man approaching middle age or in middle age, as honest as I can be.
Mm-hmm. That's great. When you were sharing that, I kind of heard the word of the Lord that says, this is the way, walk in it. Mm. You're talking about when I was this age and I was doing this, I knew the way I was supposed to walk in, at least I thought that was the way to walk in, but now things are changing so much and I'm not getting the payoff that I thought I would get because I thought I'd be St. Francis of Assisi. Now I'm doing diapers and everything else here. But so the guy's got to stop at some point and just say, okay, you got your own thoughts about your future and what you're doing. This is the way. We've got to stop and say, Lord, okay, what is the way? What do you want from me? I had to do, when I turned 70, I said to the Lord, and I got a lot of journey up to 70, done a lot of stuff and so on. I said, Lord, what do you want from me? You know, what do you want from me now? What do you want? And he says, I want the best of you. Mm. I said, I knew it was it. I want the best of you. Every phase and stage of life, he wants the best of us. But we have to stop and say, what is the way? What is the path now? How am I supposed to walk? What do you want to do with me? And if we don't do that, if a guy doesn't do that, you did that. What did they do? We talk about a midlife crisis. I don't know if you had a crisis and what's going on. But yeah, I mean, they could check out or they continue to pursue something that the Lord's not calling to pursue. May have been right in the early part, but it's not right now. And you just keep going. You're not listening.
Yeah.
Speak to that.
That's a good word, Jim. You have to, every season of life has its reasons, and you don't want to miss out on what God, the doors that God is opening for you in that season. Paul, in 1 Corinthians, he writes famously, I wish everyone could be a bachelor like me, because then they could be 100% focused on the Lord, all in for ministry. But he concedes, you know, unless, so that you don't burn or be consumed with passion. I get it. The world has to be peopled. Guys got to get married. Then he says, and these are his words, not mine. He says, a man's interest, a married man's interests are divided. He, in pleasing Christ, it's just interesting that he uses the word please. Pleasing Christ and pleasing his wife. Two different vocations, seemingly. Yeah. But if they were like a Venn diagram, there's an overlap here.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to have a foot in each camp. And Paul knows, he sees it. You're torn. Yeah. You're a breadwinner, but you also want to pursue the Lord. You want to, you know, be a fisher of men, and yet a father of children.
That's good.
A businessman, and yet, you know, wearing a suit during the week and then going to mass surrounded by medieval vestments on Sunday. Like, how do you reconcile these things?
Let's continue down the path of marriage. And, okay, so midlife, there's a lot that happens there that could be positive if you're all in with your wife. And if you're not, a lot of things can happen in terms of hurt and pain or affairs or pornography or whatever, okay? So you have a whole section on sexuality, marriage. You speak about complicity in marriage.
Yes.
So what is this all about?
Yeah, this is the fun chapter about sex and marriage. The secret to a happy marriage. I was a bachelor living in uptown Minneapolis. And I was at a good friend's apartment, and his grandmother was visiting from Italy. I must have looked like I needed marriage advice, even though I was single. But she said, very randomly, she said, Tyler, the secret to a happy marriage is complicity. She kind of shook her finger, complicity. And I never forgot it. It was such an unexpected thing to hear. I've been thinking about that for 20 years now. Complicity. When you marry, you need to leave and cleave. Well, what are you leaving? You're leaving your father and mother. She's leaving her father and mother. You're leaving behind, in many ways, your old life.
Yeah.
Some even aspects of yourself. You're becoming something new together. No one else is getting married that day. It's just you guys. So you need to go deep. You are complicit in some kind of conspiracy. You know the punchline to a joke that no one else gets. You're in on some kind of secret. You cannot lose complicity over the years. You need to have that closeness, that togetherness. A lot of wives, when their husbands get to middle age, he seems distracted, he's lost some of his mojo. Right. What happened to that spark, that inspiration? It could be as little as like he doesn't say, hey, you look beautiful today anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe he's not initiating sex anymore. Maybe he's not writing love notes anymore. Or he's just kind of gone.
Yeah.
He might be there physically, but his head's somewhere else. He's looking at the stock market or watching the football game. So complicity is when a man takes it on himself, he's not going to settle. He's going to keep the flame going. He's going to keep courting his wife.
Yes.
He's going to keep initiating sex. Men have a stronger sex drive. Their job is to initiate, and her job is to say, not now. And you got to get used to that, right? There's different seasons. There's all sorts of things going on biologically. Yeah. Sometimes there's seasons of abstinence. All of it's for a reason. But that doesn't mean you should check out. That doesn't mean that your passion's wrong. It just needs to be holy and virtuous and channeled into this never-ending romance. Mm,
that's well, so well said, can be the difference between the ship continuing to sail in a shipwreck, mm-hmm. and it's wrecking all the time.
Yeah.
Around
right.
your age.
Because
you
what men do, or even women do, my needs aren't being met at this stage and phase. We may have created these children. A lot has gone down. Maybe we've had losses. Maybe we've had miscarriages. Maybe we've had addictions. Mm-hmm. And you know what? You're just not making me happy anymore.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I love Jesus. And I'm going to church, but it has to be about me now. And when do I get to step up to the plate?
Mm-hmm.
And then we wreck things. We wreck marriages, we wreck families. And when everything is fixable. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we need to assess, right? We need to take a Selah moment and to say, are we happy?
Yeah.
Are we in a rut? What's going on here?
Yeah.
Like I want to make you happy. I want you to make me happy. Like, how do we do this? And sometimes we need to go to confession. We need to work the sacraments, or we even need counseling. Mm-hmm. We need somebody else to come and speak into us to say, hey, you got this. This is going to be okay. Because marriages get hopeless.
Yeah.
In the church and out of the church.
Yeah. Your marriage is worth fighting for.
Yes.
If it falls apart, everything else will slowly start mm-hmm. to fall apart.
Mm-hmm. That's what the lady said who saw your book.
Yeah.
She said every woman would want this for her husband. And I said, well, what did you mean when you said that? She says, I can't make, you know, women can't make guys fight for us. They have to decide to fight.
Right.
Like, that kind of thing. So the women get this. It's a great book for men and for women. You have a whole chapter for the saints, Lewis and Zelie Martin. Why do
yes.
you pick them?
And, yeah. Louis and Zelie Martin, you gotta love them. Just the dorkiest, most lovable couple in the history of the world. Zelie wanted to be a nun. Her desires were thwarted, but she didn't have a dowry. And she was like, as a concession, she's like, you know what? I think I'll be open to this marriage thing. And she opens a lace making business. Louis, he was wanting to be a monk, very similar. He couldn't make it in. So he settles for just being a bachelor and a watchmaker. He's a very good watchmaker, so good that he starts making a small fortune. And they famously cross each other's paths on the bridge, and God brings them together. But it's such a unique window into what holiness can look like when you're in those two worlds that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians, pleasing your wife and pleasing the Lord. Because they were pursuing the Lord. They were raising this virtuous Catholic family, and they were doing very well with business. They had a home. They had neighbors. He had disputes with his neighbor about the fence line and the border of where the fence should go. Things that you'd think, well, that only happens in an American suburb. No, a saint would never argue with his neighbor about where the fence post goes. They had anxiety about their investments, especially with the railroads at the time as the markets went up and down. Things where you think, look, I want to pursue Christ. I want to have a kingdom impact, but I also want to save for the future, take advantage of 529s for my kids, you know, budget money for private school. Is it okay for me to do these things?
Yeah.
Do I have permission? Or is that just, or am I making a concession with the world? Is that materialistic? I think Louis and Zelie show us a way of how to be good stewards of wealth, good partners in a local economy, while also doing it all for the sake of the Lord.
Right, and raising up holy daughters.
Yes.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. 9, 5 that lived, like, mm-hmm. just incredible. And the stories, especially if there's working moms watching this, Zelie would be, she's a working mother, like, to the tens. Like, she had to hire nannies to help. She's up late sewing, nursing. The babies are on the floor. She has all these stories of just working with the babies.
Mm-hmm.
it's not a new thing for moms to work.
Can you share with us, you mentioned the prayer of Jabez?
Yes.
Which is very popular, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Where's that from? Why did you select that and expound upon it?
Yeah, it's the prayer of Jabez in 1 Chronicles 4, one of the most misunderstood prayers in Scripture, or forgotten. It's kind of the forgotten prayer.
Okay.
It's buried in 8 chapters of nothing but genealogies. So it makes sense that we'd skip it.
Yeah.
But it's smack dab in the middle, and I think that's on purpose. And it's a genealogy of dads, going from Adam almost to the new Adam.
Wow.
Just incredible. And the early canons of Scripture used to put the Chronicles at the very end of the Old Testament. So you'd read this genealogy, including the prayer of Jabez, and then go right to Matthew. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
This prayer, I believe, is a snapshot or a synopsis of Israel and the church's entire prayer life, where there's this one man, this father named Jabez. The genealogy breaks, and it's a prayer, and it's a father's prayer. And he prays, Lord, that you would bless me, that you would broaden my borders, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from harm. In the 90s, there was a book that kind of turned this into a prayer for health and wealth, and which is part of it, but it's missing a central theme, which is, this is the prayer of Adam after he's exiled from Eden. This is the prayer of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. This is the prayer for anyone who wants the promised land. This is the prayer for people in exile in Babylon. This is a prayer for the church as we are fishers of men going to the ends of the earth, spreading the good news. This is the prayer for EWTN.
Mm-hmm.
Broaden our borders. Bless us. Keep us safe. Why? Not for our own sake, but it's that we can be a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
So in Find Your Fight, we dive deep into this prayer and how a father can pray it for his family.
Beautiful, beautiful. I'm going to take a break at this point, hold you over for the final segment, get your best stuff together. Okay, we want it in the last 3 minutes here. TylerBlansky.com, TylerBlansky.com. Find Your Fight. Wonderful for men. Women desire that men get this book. Maybe you got sons, like I got sons, that are 40-something years old and just need a refresher in the Lord and say, where am I now? How do I find my legs now? What's the pathway, Lord? What do you want from me now? We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away. Welcome back, concluding our conversation with Tyler Blansky. Tyler, let's speak about single guys who might be considering marriage. What advice would you give to them? And I was just sharing with you right before you were going to speak. You know, there's a lot with men these days, even Catholic men. It's the fear of commitment or what's going to take place or why, how do I... So what would you say to single guys in terms of preparation for marriage or taking the risk to be married?
Mm-hmm. I would say men were born to take risks, you know. If you feel like you want to climb a mountain or catch that big bass or get that amazing elk, those are interesting pursuits and will push you and challenge you. Becoming a Marine will challenge you, and getting married will challenge you. There's nothing like, at seminary there was a good joke about some of the guys that maybe were a little rough around the edges, that there's nothing about that guy that a good wife wouldn't fix. A woman lifts you up, she challenges you. It's one of the hardest things you'll ever do, and it's totally worthwhile. It's a path to manhood for sure. And it is hard. I would say you gotta start dating. You gotta date. And don't dive in super deep with one woman for 2 years and then break up, and then go 2 years with another and then break up, which is what a lot of folks do. I would say bring back the way people dated in the 50s. I actually did this. I was 26, and it struck me, if I don't get married soon-ish, I'm never going to get on this path. So I made a rule that I would date a new girl every week, and it was a lot of work. I would date a stop sign. Like, if you were a woman, I would take you out on a date. And if I hadn't done that, I would have never met Brittany.
Mm-hmm.
It was because I was on the hunt. And it was a lot. There was hard dates.
What were you hunting for?
I was hunting for the one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's got to be part of the prayer. It's just not your day. It's like, I want the one that you desire for me.
It was work. I wasn't looking to have fun. I wasn't looking to get laid. Mm-hmm. I was looking for a spouse. Mm-hmm. And it looked casual, right? We were having drinks or going for a walk or going to do, you know, play golf. But it was very serious.
Right.
Yeah.
You had an end game in mind.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And when you found her, you knew her.
Yes.
And you captured her.
Yeah. Yeah. Heart speaks unto heart. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who's this book for?
This book was written by a very tired dad who had to wake up at 4 a.m. to just get my head right. I felt like I had lost a part of who I was. I didn't know if I had what it took to get the job done. And so I woke up, you know, early before the whole family to read and write and pray. This is for dads who want to find that fire. They want to see their marriage come alive. They want to see their kids flourish. They want to understand, how is my work related to the Eucharist? Mm-hmm. How is what I'm doing at home related to my vocation as a Catholic? And they want to be a grizzly. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Thanks so much for being with us. Welcome to the EW10 family. Ave Maria Press, Find Your Fight, Rugged Wisdom for Faithful Dads Who Refuse to Settle. Wives want to know that they have a husband that wants to fight for them and to fight for the children. In the process of doing that as a man, you find your life. You find your path to salvation and the vocation God's given to you as a father. It's available on EW10RC.com. Go to TylerBlansky.com. You're an important part of this EW10 family. You're never alone. You're always at home with Jim and with Joy. Bye now.